From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
Welcome to the program. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, just blocks away from our state capitol. And today, we are bringing the Capitol to you, highlighting the status of the most important bills that are currently pending in the Nebraska legislature that affect you and your family and issues pertaining to life and liberty. These are the issues that really matter, that people are passionate about, and that 49 lawmakers in our state legislature are going to decide for the whole state. And we have just passed the halfway point of this year's session. So already there is less than 30 working days for the legislature to tackle these bills. And this past week was the deadline for state senators to file their priority designations. And this is significant because each senator gets one priority bill. It's an official motion that each senator gets one priority bill. And when they designate their priority bill, it gets bumped up basically to the top of the agenda, and committee chairs also get two additional committee priority bills. So with less than 30 days, basically only a priority bill will be debated by the full legislature for the rest of the year. So if a bill wasn't prioritized, it's not going to be debated and it's not going to advance. This is year two of two for the legislature, meaning bills will not carry over to next year. So if it doesn't advance, if it doesn't get heard, it's dead. And this is generally very good news because, unfortunately, there are a lot of bad pieces of legislation out there. So because this deadline has passed to file priority bills and only priority bills will be debated for the rest of the year, we now know which bills won't be passing, and that brings a lot of good news for families. For example, the assisted suicide bill from Senator Ernie Chambers has not been prioritized. It is still sitting in committee, so that bill is effectively done with for this year. It will not pass. It has failed to advance. This is a significant victory and actually in line with a trend across the country that is broadly seeing these attempts to legalize assisted suicide as a legitimate end-of-life treatment option is being rejected. All across the country, lawmakers and states are continuing to reject adopting assisted suicide. And this is referred to here in Nebraska under Senator Chambers' bill as the Choice at End-of-Life Act. And basically, it would provide a prescription for a lethal dose of drugs that would be just another end-of-life option for people at the end of their lives and when they are terminally ill. But what we know about these laws is that they actually take away choice and options for the most vulnerable when they are dealing with their end-of-life care. And we've seen that assisted suicide in the states that have adopted it, they have endangered the weak and vulnerable. And it also just at its core corrupts the practice of medicine by violating the sacred relationship between doctor and patient and the standard of care and the Hippocratic Oath of do no harm. And it's a policy Nebraska Family Alliance opposes because it violates human dignity and equality and the sacredness of human life. Now, alarmingly, if we look at states who have adopted physician-assisted suicide or aid in dying or a similar measure, suicide rates in general across the board tend to go up when assisted suicide is implemented. We also know that due to a federal ban on federal tax dollars being used to pay for assisted suicide, states and taxpayers from those states are forced to pay for others' assisted suicide when their taxes go to Medicare and Medicaid, and someone on Medicare or Medicaid then utilizes the dose of lethal drugs that oftentimes is paid for by state taxpayers. So this is an important victory. This was LB 450, and right now, again, it just is sitting in our state judiciary committee. They have not voted on it. The fact that they have not done that yet tells me they might not even have the votes to advance it from committee, and even if they were to take a vote on it, it will not be heard by the full legislature this year. So that bill has been defeated. And this reaffirms that our state legislature recognizes that when dealing with this issue, and it's a sensitive, difficult issue, no question, but we believe that the compassionate choice is to treat illness and end pain, not prescribe death. And Nebraskans and Nebraska's representatives have a duty to reject legislation that would harm the sanctity of human life. And they have done so again this year by rejecting that assisted suicide legislation. Now, on the religious freedom front, protecting our most fundamental sacred liberty, we received more good news when two bills would have severely violated both the free speech and free exercise rights of Nebraskans and our pastors and ministry and faith leaders. Both of those bills that would threaten their rights and all citizens' rights, their freedom to live and work according to their beliefs, have also failed to either advance or be scheduled for debate. And the first one that I want to highlight is a direct consequence of the Obergefell ruling. And this was a new piece of legislation in the Nebraska legislature this year that would change the way marriages have to be solemnized in the state of Nebraska. So right now, in order for a marriage to be recognized by the state and considered valid, there are only two requirements: obtaining a marriage certificate and the subsequent solemnization of that marriage by a person authorized to do so, such as a minister or a judge. And the laws right now in Nebraska are very clear on the solemnization of marriage, that there is no particular speech or form that is required for that marriage to be solemnized, except that the parties shall solemnly declare, meaning they must declare, that they take each other as husband and wife. And this bill, LB 785, struck the words husband and wife from that statute altogether and replaced it with spouses, so that the only way that marriage could be solemnized and therefore valid would be if, in the presence of a minister or a magistrate or whoever is authorized to solemnize the marriage, the parties would have to take each other as spouses and not husband and wife. And that is a serious free speech and free exercise violation of both pastors and ministers and the couple seeking to be wed by their pastor, specifically as husband and wife. Now, thankfully, this was a bill that Nebraska Family Alliance flagged early on, and we sent an action alert across the state asking for ministry leaders and pastors to sign a letter that we presented in our opposition testimony to the bill. And we were very encouraged to see such a strong response from all corners of the state. We had over 70 pastors representing a really diverse group of denominations and congregations who signed on to this letter and voiced their opposition, and it was heard loud and clear. That bill was stopped dead in its tracks. It, too, remains just sitting in the Judiciary Committee. They haven't even taken a vote on it yet, and it has not been prioritized, so it is not advancing this year. And this bill, again, it's LB 785, I think is a great example of why people need to be aware of what's happening in the state legislature, because when this bill was introduced, it was just brought forward as a very simple technical bill, nothing to look twice at, just updating some language. But the consequences of just changing those few words had significant and far-reaching consequences, especially for people of faith who understand and deeply value the sacredness of marriage and the marriage ceremony and being specifically wed by your minister or pastor as husband and wife, and the significance of that, not just as spouses. And of course, there's nothing inherently wrong with using the word spouses, but for a lot of people, they want to be specifically married as husband and wife because that's important to them and their faith tradition, and they understand that and the sacredness that goes into that. And for the state to require pastors or whoever is solemnizing the marriage to ask the couple to take each other and have the couple declare that they do take each other as spouses and not husband and wife in order for that marriage to be valid is really alarming. And that's egregious that we would try to do that. So thankfully, that bill is not moving forward, and it seems entirely unnecessary to just completely remove husband and wife altogether. You know, if there is language that needs to be updated to reflect the Supreme Court's ruling on same-sex marriage, you know, I would tend to think that gender-neutral language could simply be added in without removing husband and wife altogether. And this probably isn't an issue that is going away, but for this year, for this legislative session, that bill has been defeated, and religious freedom has been defended as well by the failure of another bill, LB 173, to pass that was debated last year, and then it stalled out and has not come back. And this is a bill that has been introduced in Nebraska for the last 15 years that would add sexual orientation and gender identity to the list of protected classes. And this is always such a challenge because people just instantly hear those words, non-discrimination and equality and fairness, and it sounds like what's being done is such a good thing because everyone opposes unjust discrimination. That's not something our society or certainly Nebraskans tolerate for any reason. However, when you add sexual orientation and gender identity, non-discrimination language to state statute, which has been done by about half of the states so far across the country. But again, due to the effects of that, we are seeing states start to reject that language, including in Nebraska, because rather than being used as a shield against actual discrimination, instead these laws are used as a sword against people of faith and anyone who disagrees on the issue of marriage or human sexuality. We have seen too many times, over and over, that these laws force people who serve everyone to promote messages and participate in events that conflict with their sincerely held beliefs. Everyone from cake bakers to florists to photographers, and we even covered earlier this year on the show farmers in Michigan, farmers who were sued under this law for operating their family business according to their sincerely held beliefs. And we fundamentally believe that every American, regardless of your race or religion or sexual orientation and what have you, should be free to live and work according to their beliefs without the fear of unjust punishment by the government. And so this is good news that this law that would single out and punish citizens on the basis of their peacefully expressed beliefs has been rejected again by the legislature this year. These laws, which are just commonly referred to as SOGIs in Nebraska, this was LB 173, have been the number one vehicle to compromise religious freedom. As a society, as citizens, we have to make sure that tolerance, true tolerance, remains a two-way street and that people aren't forced by the government to agree on one of the most sensitive issues. And it should never be the role of government to force people to agree and to force speech and actually require that people participate in events that that they don't desire to for any reason. We would never want to force a Muslim baker, for example, to make a cake or design something with an image depicting Muhammad on it. We wouldn't want a Democrat speechwriter to be forced to write speeches for Republican candidates. And actually, these scenarios have already been playing out in real life. Earlier this year, although a Christian cake artist is currently awaiting a decision from the United States Supreme Court on whether or not he violated Colorado's non-discrimination laws by declining to do a same-sex wedding cake, in California, there were multiple bakeries who refused to do a special birthday cake for a 9-year-old boy that was for a pro-Donald Trump party supporting the president, and they all declined to make that cake because they did not agree with the message that it portrayed, and that was their right to do so. Similarly, we had multiple designers and performers who refused, although their services were requested, to work or serve with the Trump campaign during the election because they didn't agree with his platform. And again, that was their right to do so. So there was a bill in Nebraska this year that carried over from last year, LB 173, that would have opened up the door for these types of things to happen, but in a way that's similar to the cake bakers and florists and photographers that have been sued across the country, that would have started happening in Nebraska. But that bill has not made it back onto the agenda this year, and it appears very unlikely at this point that it will do so. So those are three really key, important bills that are not advancing this year: assisted suicide, changing marriage solemnization, and adding new protected classes to include sexual orientation and gender identity and threaten free speech and religious freedom. Those have all failed. But there's also some good bills, some solid, sound policy that has been prioritized and will have an opportunity to be debated by the full legislature and pass into law. And the first one that I want to highlight that we've covered a lot on this show is the major pro-life initiative this year that comes under the state budget bill, LB 944, dealing with a Title 10 provision that would ensure that Nebraska's taxpayer dollars are not being used to subsidize abortion clinics in Nebraska. Title 10 is a federal grant program that was started under President Nixon, and its intended purpose is to be used for preventative health and family planning services. However, when Congress established this new program, it was very clear that they did not intend any of this money to be used or given to clinics who use abortion as a method of family planning. However, over the years, hundreds of millions of dollars have gone to abortion clinics, including in Nebraska, where currently the number one recipient of that Title 10 grant money is Planned Parenthood of the Heartland. So although taxpayer funding of abortion is illegal, it remains a fact that taxpayer money is still being used to subsidize the abortion industry in Nebraska through these Title 10 funds. Thankfully, we have a very strong, committed pro-life governor who wants to do something about that. And in his 2018 budget proposal, which is now a bill, again, LB 944, there is a provision that would change the distribution and allocation of those Title 10 funds to clinics in Nebraska by inserting very simple, clear language that any organization that performs, assists with, or provides directive counseling or referrals in favor of abortion would not be eligible to receive this money. So there's no change in the amount of funds that are available for healthcare and preventative healthcare services. And any clinic who is not engaged in the abortion industry isn't going to lose any funding. This is providing long overdue, reasonable, and common sense safeguards, much needed clarity and assurances that those Title 10 dollars are not being inappropriately used or helping subsidize abortion in Nebraska. Now, this is all important because the one constitutional duty that the state legislature has is to pass the budget. So this is a bill that is guaranteed to be on the floor. We know that. It'll probably be up in a couple of weeks. And in that bill is going to be this Title 10 language. So last year, something similar was attempted. And when it was debated by the full legislature on the second round, that Title 10 language was removed by one vote. And so pro-life groups have been working hard to bring this back. And once again, the state legislature is going to have the opportunity to address what would be one of the most significant pro-life victories in Nebraska in years. This would finally end the taxpayer subsidization of abortion clinics in our state. And if Nebraska will finally require the complete separation of Title 10 services from abortion activities, we can be certain that no taxpayer money is subsidizing the abortion industry. And there are a couple of other really, really important bills that have been prioritized that we're really excited about that the legislature is going to have the opportunity to pass into law and really create some significant victories for family freedom and life in our state. And one of those bills is LB 1040. This is really a unique and incredible bill, I think, that would create what is essentially a new type of birth certificate for miscarriages that occur prior to 20 weeks. And we know it is estimated that 1 in 4 pregnancies end in miscarriage. So this affects a lot of women and a lot of families who are affected by this, and their grief and their loss is real. But right now, for a large part, it goes completely unrecognized, and parents are left seeking that validation and acknowledgement of the life that was lost. Right now in Nebraska, if the pregnancy is lost after 20 weeks, there is the option to receive a birth certificate, but there is no sort of acknowledgement, no certificate for anything that for any pregnancy that is lost prior to 20 weeks gestation. And this bill, LB 1040, makes a small compassionate change to make this available to families who do lose a pregnancy prior to 20 weeks by creating a new type of commemorative birth certificate that families can even get the name of the child on. And this would really be an incredible accomplishment, I think, to see our state do this, to recognize and validate that loss and show that those babies, those lives mattered, they existed, we value them, and we recognize them. And we would be one of the first states in the entire country to do that. And the bill's sponsor, Senator Albright, has made it her priority bill. She has not only introduced it now and seen it through committee, but she has chosen to make it her single priority bill for the year, which will help ensure that it makes it onto the agenda for the full legislature with the opportunity to pass into law and become a reality for Nebraska families. And I think it would make a big, big difference for people to have that option. And lastly, the last bill I want to cover today, we know an issue that so many people are passionate about. One of the issues that Nebraska Family Alliance focuses on is combating the atrocity of human trafficking that occurs in our state. And we are so grateful that our state has really, just over the last few years, made some significant and tremendous strides to do a better job of attacking the issue, of getting in front of it. We passed a bill last year to create much stronger penalties for those who are engaged in trafficking. But on the other side of that are the victims, and we need to do more to help them get back on their feet and integrated to society and find their identity again. But many times those victims of trafficking end up with charges on their record from being trafficked, whether it's prostitution charges, or oftentimes these women are forced to carry drugs or are put on drugs, and they end up with drug charges on their record that make it very difficult for them to then find employment and really find their way back to healing. And so this bill, 1132, introduced by Senator Pansy-Brooks and prioritized by Senator Quick, would create a process and the opportunity for those who are actual victims of trafficking to have a way to get those trafficking-related charges removed and expunged from their record. And that would go an incredibly long way in helping these victims and ensuring that our society and our government are doing everything that we can to help them, because victims of this horrific and heinous crime should not also have to be the burden of an unjust criminal record. Those are just some of the remaining issues and bills before the Nebraska legislature. And for all of the information and to keep getting updates on what's happening with these bills that affect family, freedom, and life, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Be sure to visit the Bill Tracker page and join the e-network if you haven't, so you can continue to stay informed on the issues that matter most and join the movement to help restore the foundation of our country, the family, and stand with us in advancing family, freedom, and life in Nebraska. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.